Welcome back to Movie Trailer Reviews Podcast. Your host Chris here with Ro. And we're here to review a film that comes out. When does the film come out? Is it next week? June something. I don't remember when. Anyway, we're here to review Shirley. That's June 5th. Let me read the synopsis for this film. A famous horror writer finds inspiration for her next book after she and her husband take in a young couple. Directed by Josephine Decker. What the fuck did you make me watch? Ro.
I'm sorry. I accidentally hit the mute button while I was laughing at you.
Yeah, so the first thing you fucked up in, see, I gotta stop doing this. When you give me something, when you suggest, you ask if we've gotten a screener for something and watch something, I say no, and I just assume that it's something that I would want to watch, but I don't know why I do that with you, and I need to go and look at the shit, because for some reason I thought it was a horror film, and it clearly isn't, and I don't know what the fuck I watched, and... what was this? No, you're not. No, you're not sorry. You're not sorry, though.
Had you seen the trailer? I asked you and B, have you seen the trailer for Shirley?
But do you know who Shirley Jackson is? But you did. But you saw the trailer for it, and you knew better. You knew better than to ask either one of us that. You know we probably hadn't, and you knew that we probably wouldn't. If we had, we wouldn't have watched
right.
the film.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying, you know what you did. It's fine. I do the same thing to Deep Palm, so I can't really complain too much. You know, it's karma. I can't say much. You know,
I'm sorry. I couldn't resist. I could have, but I didn't. Do you know who Shirley Jackson is?
No.
Have you ever remember reading the story of the lottery when you were in school?
I think I did, like a long time.
Or that Haunting at Hill House.
Yeah.
That's Shirley Jackson. She's the author.
Okay. That does nothing for me.
So she's crazy, and I was expecting them to give us more crazy? Of a bigger blowout, so you would have a better context for what they were throwing us into for Shirley. But they did not. I was not really expecting them to make a full on niche art house film, since it was neon. Since they did, let's talk about it. How you doing over there, Chris?
Listen, I have a love-hate relationship with art house, because I think sometimes art house is the word given for something that is actually terrible and not well thought out, and so people slap the art house, you know, label on it, because they don't put a full-out actual movie there, and I feel like that's what happened here, but that's just my opinion.
Well, okay, this is a niche film. I will say that. I actually liked it, but I'm weird. We already knew that going in. I also absolutely love Elizabeth Moss.
She's great. I mean, it's just nothing against her. And I'll just say this, you know, some people like anchovies on pizza. That doesn't make them right. It doesn't make it good either.
Don't put me in the same category as people who eat anchovies on
pizza. I'm just saying.
That's just not okay.
You know, people do some things doesn't mean it's okay. Good. But no,
I'm gonna take offense.
Well, no, here's the thing, and I'll say this: like Elizabeth Moss, right? She is going to, you know, be great in whatever you put her in front of. For me, and I think this is my overall problem I have with art house, these art house niche films. I'm okay with them being niche and being out art house, I'm okay with that, but I always feel like they're always missing something. They're always missing, okay. Like, why should I care? It feels like I'm watching something
that. I will give you that. I will absolutely give you that.
It just feels like they throw a lot of stuff in there that could be interesting, but then they just go, well, we're not going to give you that. Like, there's this whole thing between Shirley and her husband, and there's a young couple that they're with. Then with what was the young woman's name?
The one
that was staying with her, was it
Rosie?
Rose, yeah. Like the whole thing with Rose, and so like there's all these things in here that could be interesting, and like, and also the fact that, you know, Shirley's crazy, right? That's also an interesting piece. And I'm like, you have all this stuff here, but I feel like I always feel like the problem that these kind of films have is they have so many interesting threads, but they can't pick one. So they try to give you just a taste of everything. And so I end up leaving the film feeling completely unfulfilled. There's no meat on the bones. It's a good appetizer. It's a good setup. And I feel like they're always that's what they're used for, to kind of set somebody else up for the next thing when they can actually, you know, put a complete film together. But it's not like I sat there for this hour, it's like an hour and 40 fucking minutes or something like that. And I'm just like, at the end, I'm like, okay. Next.
Yeah. I think I was able to kind of look past some of this film's flaws, specifically because I know who Shirley Jackson is. Mm-hmm. And after I was made to read The Lottery in school and realized what the hell the story was about, I was like, I have to know more about the person who wrote this book, because that short story it's messed up. I was like, really, this whole thing is about you going to stone somebody at the end? I mean, if that's a spoiler for you for The Lottery, then I don't know what you were doing in the eighth grade, because your teacher was clearly giving you a better reading list than mine. But so coming into this movie, I already knew a lot about Shirley Jackson. And the thing that I find to be disappointing is the exact thing that you're complaining about. They don't ground you enough in the world or the time period or the context of Shirley enough for you to be able to just kind of go on this ride and understand what all these little threads and little narratives were, and why once it gets to the end, they actually do wrap up the story that they were telling as much as you could, since she's batshit. Mm-hmm. So like, you need to know that Shirley Jackson was completely and utterly verbally abused by her mom you're not pretty. You're just a weird kid. You don't have any feminine attributes, and you do all this weird scribbling. You know, you need to know that in the time period that she wrote, she may have been published, but she wasn't celebrated. And, you know, people are like, oh, like there's a moment in there, people saying, well, it's outside your niche, it's not your thing. It's, you know, a lot of women who wrote genre were disrespected because they wrote genre. She, all of her themes dealt around with, like, you know, hypermanic women, anxiety, you know, desperation, and all of those things. You need to know that coming into this in order to understand the relationship she has with her husband, Stanley. Who's played by Michael Stuhlbarg? Is that how you say his last name? I don't remember. Very well. Mm. But you don't have enough of the context of the world that they're bringing Fred and Rose, played by Odessa Young and Logan Learman, which was a surprise. I didn't expect to see his face, into their house. So you don't know that, like, he's that freewheeling teacher who teaches at that college who's, you know, who's great. So you actually need to understand her life in order for the story that they tell you and the glimpse they give you behind her process and everything else that was going on in order for this movie to feel grounded. So it's not so much that they didn't give you a meal, is they just kind of threw it on your table. They didn't put on a plate. There's no plate setting, and they didn't give you any silverware. So you're just kind of picking up pieces here and there. And if you know stuff, you can kind of go on for this bizarre ride and just let it be and develop. But without that, it just feels like they start a lot and never really go past the starting point. And time is really jacked up. You don't even realize until you're almost to the end of the third act that a year's gone by, that you actually saw a year's worth of these people's lives.
Right. And I think that's the other thing, too, that's really, I think that's something we've seen in other films, too, where they have a hard time letting you know that how time has passed. And I think you have to find when you're doing these kind of films, you have to find sort of ways of letting the audience know, because that's an important piece. Because at the beginning, it gives you important context about what's happening with Fred and Rose, because they were only supposed to be staying there for 2 weeks, and right. So by the time you get to the end, you realize that they've been there for over. I mean, she done had her baby, and that baby's like, and which another thing too, it's like when they decide to show you time, then it's like they jump from nowhere. So you go from, like, her basically rubbing one off on Shirley's leg to, next thing you know, she has her baby. I'm like, well, there's a lot of yada, yada, yada in between there. This baby's, like,
right.
Huge. Like, what the fuck's going on here? And I think that's another problem I have with these kind of films. It's like, you have to, at some point, somebody needs to step in and say, okay, I get this is a niche film. I get what you're doing here. But you got to do a better job of letting the audience know what point in time you're in so they can follow the fucking story at least.
Yeah, you know? they got a little hung up on the look, which I think, quite frankly, they did a really interesting blend of kind of like neo-gothic in with that whole, you know, wanting it to feel like it's very much so in the time period of like, you know, around the 30s and the 40s, you know, when you had the freewheeling popular white guy who, you know, had a house where black people came, but the very bohemian-esque. And I feel like they really did that very well, but there's none of the meticulousness that you need in order for this to just be more than a bizarre ride. And as much as I enjoyed how much it was weird, I think it would have hit better and Elizabeth Moss's performance would have resonated more if you'd had more of that meticulousness. So the tortured aspects of her, you know, kind of bounced off more. And the evolution and de-evolution of Rose would have had a greater impact.
Well, I'll also be honest here too. And again, maybe this is just me being an Elizabeth Moss fan. Feel like the subject in the lead is off. Like you're following Rose, and there's nothing. I have nothing wrong with that actress. I think Odessa Young is fine in the role, but it's like to me the interesting person is Shirley, and I feel like the film called Shirley, I should be following Shirley to really understand that. But instead, you're following Rose and getting her kind of viewpoint on and slow, I guess. You know, slowly devolving into crazy yourself. But, like, I'm not interested in that story. I'm interested in what the fuck's going on with Shirley. And so...
Right, because you miss... I think it's really easy. I want to say something, but I feel like it's a spoiler. I mean... You actually are following Rose. I mean, you actually aren't following Rose, but it's really easy to miss that. Because they don't give you a strong enough ending. Like, the scene at the end of the table... The very last scene there with Elizabeth Moss, where they go in close on the camera and she starts talking. They don't give you, because they didn't give you enough context, and because they unraveled at a weird pace, and there's a couple of touch tones that it's really easy to miss, because Odessa Young actually plays two people in this movie.
Right.
It's really, I had to watch it again, which is why I was pissed saying, please God, let me use your link. I had to watch it again before I actually caught the fact that we did follow Rose, but only because Shirley told us to. So we were actually only seeing everything that was happening under the direction of Shirley. And I think if they had made a stronger point to that, and if they had kind of reeled in certain other aspects, maybe between the stuff that Stanley and Fred, they should have been more outlier characters than they were, especially Stanley. I think that would have been stronger, but I personally feel like they were trying to make it to where Elizabeth Moss wouldn't overwhelm the rest of his cast.
Right. And
I think they should have just let it. They should have just let it rock. They should just let it roll, you know?
Right. I mean, it's just like, you're not going to be able to do that because she's going to do that anyway. So, you might as well just roll with
it. Because she's
brilliant. And I think that's the thing, too. It's like, when I was watching what they... I think I saw what they were trying to do, and I wasn't going to watch it a second time, because that just was not going to happen. but like I saw what they were trying to do, and I'm like, I think I know what they were trying to do, and if I actually gave a shit enough about this film, I would have watched it a second time and go, oh, okay, but to me, it's like, it didn't earn that. It didn't earn that. You know, again, we just did all of our Christopher Nolan rewatch, so it's like, those films earn me going back. Oh, I got to go back and watch where I missed this, and I got to do this. Here I go. Oh, so you guys are, that's what you guys are doing. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I mean, it's bizarre. I liked some of the psychological elements. I found those to be really engaging and perverse. I felt like they tried to pull the allegory. I really want to spoil.
Let's be honest.
Yes.
Ain't nobody going to watch this. So, we can just say at this point, if you guys really want to watch it, close your ears and don't hear spoilers.
It's a weird little trippy film, and if you're going to watch it, then you should stop listening to us right now, because Chris is now giving me permission to lose my mind. I got shit to say.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably the best way to do it, and the majority of people that we're talking to are not going to watch it.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, go ahead. Okay. So this whole thing is about Shirley's process when she gets writer's block.
Right. Because she did the same thing with the girl that was missing at the beginning, who also, I believe, that's also played by Odessa Young?
Yes, Paula.
Paula, yeah. So it's the same thing. And like, I kind of got that toward the end. That's what they were going for and doing. But it just was like, I don't know.
Like the moments where you're not too sure if you're looking at something, like when you get the voiceover of Shirley, where you're hearing what she's writing frantically at her at her typewriter. Mm-hmm. And then you start having these moments where I was like, what in the grand hallucination is this? Is this what's really happening? Or is that thing I saw a minute ago? And part of the reason why they played around and made time so soft is because they don't actually want you to be able to track Rose. Because Rose only exists as much as Shirley lets her exist in this house. And the other thing that you need to know is that all the inferences they were making to Stanley, and like, you know, when the phone rang and she's like, you told me this shit wouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, basically the very polite way of saying, why are you having your whores call my house during dinner time? Mm-hmm. He married Shirley only upon the condition that she accepted him being unfaithful. And listening to his exploits when he came home to tell her about them.
But see, that's my thing. It's like you can't write a film and do a film and have, because that's a key point. As far as I'm concerned, that's a key point. That's a key element of this, especially if you're going to have as much Stanley in the film as you do, right?
Right.
Because you immediately kind of go, it's like, I don't fuck with Stanley. He's kind of a dick. But you don't get that. And you can kind of maybe kind of see into it a little bit, but I don't know. I didn't like those parts, because it made it almost seem like they were trying to make it seem like Shirley was crazy. But if this is what the reality was, it's like, not that she was crazy. It's like, this is actually one of the ones things that is not her out of her fucking mind. It's like, this is how the relationship worked. That is
right.
Just a factual way of, you know, water is wet, and Stanley was, you know, they had that agreement, quote unquote, in their relationship. So it's like, right. I think that's an important piece.
And it fed into her anxiety, and it increased the reasons why she didn't leave the house. You know, it's like the moments where you see outside the house where you run into girls who were talking about their relationship with Stanley and saying, mm-hmm. I only know about Shirley by what Stanley tells me. And people being convinced that, you know, she was almost some kind of idiot savant, and he's the one who really took her scribbles and turned them into stories. All those things that you got slightly as inferences when Shirley convinces Rose to run around and get her info that she needs because mm-hmm. she's got this inspiration on this missing girl. All of that stuff jumbled in together without actually knowing a little bit more about that. She's not just, madcap. She actually has deep anxiety. She has deep issues. Some of them are, you know, exacerbated by her relationship, and aspects of her relationship make her very cruel. And make her willing to, you know, do things and exploit people for her own comfort so she can overcome the problem she has so she can keep working, you know? And all of this comes, she broke Rose so she could figure out the ending to a story. And, you know, she needed to insert someone who was like the character who she wanted to make them follow the path that she needed followed so she could kind of have this sounding board. And then you have this whole other relationship where it's being mirrored that you have this young, kind of naive woman in a time period where the most she can do is audit classes. Because, again, this is a time period when women weren't really allowed to go to college if they were married, because, you know, that was something that was deemed you don't need to do that anymore. And any time that a man tells you that this is really good for us, he's about to ask you to put up with some shit that's bullshit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't get enough of the relationship between Fred and Rose where he basically has abandoned her in this house. And, you know, if we were going to have this much Stanley, we needed to understand that Stanley's creepy uncle thing was, you know, goes a little bit deeper than that. So when you get to the moment where you realize that Rose is completely now codependent, and she's not dependent on her husband anymore, she's completely fallen under Shirley's spell. She's literally in her thrall. But on the other side of that, you've got Stanley poking at Shirley saying, oh, you seem to be smitten. And she's like, yeah, I don't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, you miss those little hints, because if they had let Elizabeth Moss just go, I don't know whether or not anybody else. Well, Logan Lerman couldn't have held his own against her. Do you think so?
No, but I don't think he needed to. Because even with the way they wrote it, like, he's not really, he's, you know, secondary character here. Like, you didn't really need him.
Yeah, and he's
weak. Right, and he's weak. But even, I mean, not even from an actor point of view, but just from a character point of view, he is. Like, at no point is that character a strong character. You know, he's bullied by everyone else. And he doesn't even really, you know, he's not even really bullied by his wife. He's just like, he's secondary. So it's like, I don't think that it would have been a problem. I think that having Elizabeth Moss, you know, I think having her and Michael Stolberg going back and forth, I think that would have worked. And so I don't think that she would have been over. But I think that was the point. I think that that's what you need in the film. And then even her overshadowing a little bit of Odessa would have been okay, because again, character-wise, it would have worked. So it's like, I don't give them a pass for not letting her.
I'm not saying you're doing that.
Yeah, I'm just saying that I think that I'm agreeing with you. I think that they should have. It's a mistake because the film basically is set up to do that. It's set up to allow her to Elizabeth Moss to take over this cast and take over this role. And they just don't. And she's the most interesting thing. Like, there's that one point when Fred is getting in the bed and he's trying to figure out what's stuck on his foot. And he's like, you find out that Shirley had put some like fertility stuff, things down on the ground, because she's also saying she's a witch. It's like, it's all this stuff that she's kind of doing. Like, that's a character that's interesting to me. That's the character I want to follow.
Yeah.
And
I don't know why they started going for the whimsy. I really don't. I think they kind of, like, the whole process of the story that she was writing, I think they put that too much front and center. And by doing that, it only reduces you to getting glimpses into her mind rather than following her as an affirmative character. And I agree with you. That was to the movie's detriment, because if they had done that, I think this one, it would have felt way more like a gothic horror movie, because that's Shirley. But yeah, I enjoyed it, but only because I feel like I knew enough to be able to fill in the blanks. And I agree with you, you're not supposed to have to go to a movie to have insider knowledge in order to be able to make it hold together.
Right. And I think that's the biggest problem I have with these kind of art house niche films, because I think there usually is. I agree with you. The way the film is shot, it shot really, really well. It, even in the way of actually being creepy in some scenes and having that thriller aspect to it. So it's done really well there. And I think you have the cast. Like, I wouldn't swap out anybody on the cast.
Cast is perfect.
The cast works. It's just, I always feel like a film like this, I leave kind of feeling like, okay, I mean, I see what you're trying to do. It just doesn't land for me, and I just kind of fell with this one.
Yeah. I mean, and then you start, like, when, like, I watched this with a friend of mine, and she's like, I'm sorry, did this movie just become extremely queer? I was like, yep. Yeah, and then they just turned away from it.
Yeah, that's another one that threw me off. I was like, okay, now we getting interesting. Now we got something going on here. And then it kind of just...
Yeah,
goes
and I
away.
Think part of that has to do with I don't know if Josephine Decker and Sarah Gubbins, when they came to this, couldn't decide which version of Shirley they wanted to present to the world, whether it was more of the one that you get from people who've done more research into known facts about her and her upbringing, or the version of Shirley that you got that she did in interviews where, you know, she'd tell people she was a witch. And this one used to straight up tell people she hexed them. And they had a moment like this in the movie, and then they didn't emphasize it enough, so you didn't even know it, and it was easy to miss. It's about the part where she was looking at the that one woman. She said, you'd bore him in a week. And they have all these different moments in here, and I just really feel like, on the one hand, they kind of wanted to play into the fact where people kind of treated her with disdain and didn't really consider her to have any depth, and she was just this weird anxiety written person who had this one story that was great and has stood the test of time, but everything else is pretty much whatever. Or if it's this other woman who was disparaged and disrespected, was deeply, deeply emotionally unstable due to circumstances and conditions in her life, and she wrote those into her work. And that body of work now exemplifies, if you lay it all next to each other, you know, a journey through anxiety and what that can do to you, and the, you know, the hallmarks and harbingers of what that happens to a woman in the world. And I really feel like they couldn't make up their mind which Shirley they wanted to give us. And they kept waffling between it. And that's why Elizabeth Moss didn't stay front and center. And she's not the character that you totally feel like you're following, even though she's in control of everything, but not. And so it was disappointing for me, because I really feel like they could have made a really good, accessible, R-rated movie that was, you know, drama leaning into horror. But instead, you just kind of got a niche art house movie that was just a little exquisitely bizarre. And yeah, but they had some one-liners. Yeah. She was ruthless. Yeah, but it wasn't enough to make it worth it.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
But I liked it. But I'm a weirdo.
Yeah.
I am proud of you for making it all the way through. I didn't. Once I got all the way through the movie, I was like, I text Bacon and said, Chris gonna cuss me out for this.
Yeah, yeah, and she was right. You were right that I did. Only reason why I made it through is because I was literally editing some other stuff, and so I had it on my tablet, so it was in the background. So I was like, well, fuck it.
It's here now.
It's noise, and I might as well keep going. Yeah. So,
yeah, there's too much to unpack in Shirley for the version of the movie that they gave us to work. I mean, if bizarre art house movies are your bag, then I think it's right up your alley. Because that's its area, but it's not a biopic, and I'm kind of disappointed because Elizabeth Moss as Shirley Jackson is perfect casting.
Yeah, if they decided to do an actual biopic and then they cast her to do, I'd watch that before I watch this over again.
Man, you don't even know, you don't even realize that Shirley Jackson and her husband are the ones who ran the house where intellectuals from the upstate were, including Ralph Ellison. Mm-hmm. As an invisible man, Ralph Ellison. Like the black man you see flash when they are showing up at the house.
Right.
That's Ralph Ellison. Like some of the other, they had luminaries and they opened their, the people who were standing around talking to her about what she's talking about were some of the best writers of their day. But she was disparaged as the Virginia werewolf because she wrote genre. I don't understand why they didn't give us that movie. They still could have given us the story with her kind of manipulating and using this living girl as a living doll to, you know, extrapolate her story out and show us her process and, you know, go through all of the things that happened in her house. But I don't know why they didn't give us that when they had the perfect woman in the role.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know. Because she gave an almost breathtaking performance for nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you can give a score. I'm not giving a score on this because I just. Yeah.
I'll do a written and I'll throw a score up for that. Okay. But because this is really, really, this is the first time I have to truly say that I have made you watch something absolutely niche.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, it's just, this is the time to do it because you know I'm not paying attention to things when people email me, and so it just ends up happening, and the next you know I'm halfway through going like, son of a bitch, I've already committed. I already fuck. What?
I would not have done this to you if we were in deep, true June screening time, and you know it.
Why I said this is the perfect time to do it, because it's easy to sneak it under my radar. Normally, I would have been like, come on, you know better than that. But this time, and something told me, it's like, Chris, watch the trailer before you start doing this. Watch the trailer before you start doing it. And I kept telling myself, but I kept getting busy, and I couldn't do it. So finally, I was like, "Well, shit, it's gonna." When you email me about the link expiring, I was like, "Oh shit, I do have to watch this." Well, actually, it wasn't even that. I was going through my email and I saw that I requested the link and I got it and I was like, "Oh yeah, we should probably do this. I should probably watch the trailer."
I was shocked.
Yeah,
ladies and gentlemen, I was shocked because I was like, "Okay, Chris is gonna watch the trailer, and he's gonna email me and say." Do a written review, or if you enjoy one, talk about it, go ahead. That is what I was expecting to happen.
It should have happened. I dropped the ball. That was my, it's my fault. It's all on me, and I take that responsibility for myself.
I mean, I mean, I will say it's a gorgeous movie. It is a gorgeous movie. But if you want to know why I'm disappointed that this is the version of Shirley they decided to put in the world, did you watch The Haunting of Hill House when it was on Netflix?
Yeah. Yeah.
That is Shirley Jackson's work.
Yeah.
And to take someone who wrote the story that made that series possible to be reimagined the way it was, and to not just let her ride as the lead of her own movie, it's just not okay. I mean, I know they wanted to do their whole Sundance thing, and this is right up the alley for that, and it's intense, and the score is well done, and you'll be unsettled. But at the end of the day, when you start to unpack all the stuff they gave you, the subplots don't come back together. They don't mesh. But just watch Elizabeth Moss be Elizabeth Moss. It'll be fine.
Yeah. All right. I do not know what the next thing we'll be reviewing coming on.
I don't know.
But we
are we gonna do the Five, the Spike Lee joint on Netflix? We gonna do that?
You know what? Let me watch the trailer and I'll get back to you. Because no, I'm not. No. See, you gotta wait. You can't do it right after you did. You got me for the last one. You can't do it that way. It's too soon. You gotta wait. You gotta wait a little bit of time.
It's a Spike Lee movie. It drops on Netflix on what, the 5th or something, or the 12th or something. I don't know.
It's a Spike Lee movie, as if that's gonna be an automatic yes for me.
No, that's why I know it's not gonna be an automatic right. yes for you, right. sir.
No,
I remember what you had to say about BlacKkKlansman.
No, I didn't say anything about BlacKkKlansman. That was Brandon. I didn't
BlacKkKlansman?
Yeah, I didn't. I don't think I actually saw BlacKkKlansman.
Right, that's why I asked. Are we going to do his next movie? Because I don't believe you saw BlacKkKlansman. Okay. I believe you vetoed that and said that you do not consider that to be good self care.
Yeah, I can't remember what I. No, I don't know. Why did I not watch BlacKkKlansman?
I don't know.
I don't know why I didn't watch it. Someone else came up with that, so I don't know.
Its moments, but
yeah.
I mean, if you take it as just a costume drama set in the time period, you know,
I can't remember.
It's fine, but it's whatevs.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, anyway, just stay tuned. we'll see what else we got coming up soon. And yeah, folks, thank you guys very much, and stay safe out there. And we'll see if we make it to the end of 2020. All right, folks.
Lord Jesus.
Next time, we're out of here. Peace.